Hi, and welcome to season 3 of the Nosy Rosie Show. I'm your host, Nosy Rosie, and on each episode, I'll be talking with different guests, hearing about their love lives, stories, and passions. So turn it up, and thanks for listening. I'm snowed in. I'm at my house. My sister is working from home, and I finally have time to talk about something that's been really on my mind lately, and it's the dangers of narcissists. Narcissists. I think this is one of the worst things I've experienced, and I've also had friends go through very eerily similar things. The common factor is the narcissistic person. Another factor of this is narcissists are real. But I do think the term narcissist is thrown around quite a bit. So whenever anyone is acting like an asshole or a douchebag or whatever, people just call them narcissists. So when I was in this sort of relationship, I never thought twice. You know, I didn't realize that this person was a narcissist, and I didn't realize what I was in. I didn't really know what a narcissist was. And I truly believe that maybe if I had known more about this subject, that I would have seen the signs earlier on and I wouldn't have been in that situation. And so hopefully this episode can be a warning sign and can be educational on what the fuck a narcissist actually is. And even if it can warn one person to get the fuck out before you're deeply intertwined with this person, then I've done my job. So I have a lot to say. Listen up, trigger warning. We're going to talk about a lot of rough things. So if you're not ready to listen to this, go listen to a happier episode, because this is not a super happy episode. Thanks for sticking in here. But totally understand if you need to change the channel and go listen to Miley Cyrus or something. There are so many ways I could start this. One thing I do want to say, there are two different kinds of narcissists. Also, another warning, I'm not a psychologist. I've just done a shit ton of research because I've been through this and I want to understand what the fuck I went through. So there's two types of narcissists. We've got the grandiose narcissist. It can be like this example is like the golden child, the one that got all the praise, all the attention. Everything as a child. So they were told they were the best thing since sliced bread, you know, and they kind of continue that, and that kind of follows them into adulthood. So they have this like God complex. They just think they're the shit. They think they are the best thing. They think they're so special, and they expect that. And that can kind of come out with being aggressive and dominant and exaggerating their importance, stuff like that. So that's grandiose narcissism. Vulnerable narcissism is typically the result of neglect or abuse as a child. So this kind of narcissist can be more sensitive. They are like this because they're trying to protect themselves against feelings of inadequacy. So they're trying to prove to themselves that they are the best thing since sliced bread. They kind of go in between feeling inferior and superior all the time. So that's kind of the core motivation there. Both of them have the same traits. You know, it both ends in the same result. And for me, it's really hard to not dismiss this behavior because I'm like, oh, that's so sad. Like, I hate that you're like this because of this. But listen, they're most likely happy with who they are and what they're doing. Most narcissists don't treat them, like, don't get any treatment because that doesn't align with them. They're God complex. They don't need help. They're doing whatever they want and getting away with it. They don't need help. Okay, so there's two different kinds. And then I'm just going to tell you there's a list of 9 different traits of narcissistic personality disorder. And to qualify as a narcissist, you have to at least check 5. My person checked 8.5 of these, okay? So I was really trying to believe they weren't a narcissist for a hot minute once I was already in the hot water, you know. Number 1, a grandiose sense of self-importance. Number 2, preoccupation with fantasies of unlimited success, power, brilliance, beauty, and ideal love. Number 3, belief that they are special and unique and can only be understood by or should be associated with other special high-status people or institutions. Number 4, requires excessive admiration. Number 5, has a sense of entitlement. Number 6, is interpersonally exploitative, takes advantage of others. 7, lacks empathy. 8, envies others or believes others are envious of them. 9, shows arrogant, haughty behaviors and attitudes. Okay, so that's a lot. That's 9, so if they have at least 5 of these, then you got yourself a narcissist. Okay, so those are some behaviors to look out for, but the problem with avoiding a narcissist is you don't know they're a narcissist generally until you're already in this. Why? Because they're charming as fuck. A narcissist knows how to do this. They're smart. At least most of the narcissists that I've come in contact with or heard of are very smart, which is a little scary because they're not using that smartness for good. They're using it to exploit other people to get what they want. So it kind of goes like this. This is what mine went like word for word. I read this and I was just like, oh my God. I just didn't see it coming. So like step 1, you meet the narcissist. They like shower you with affection. You know, they figure out what you want to hear and they say it. They say it and you believe it because they say it with such sincerity, or that's what it feels like. They compliment you. They give you expensive gifts. They basically become your prince or your prince charming. Actually, they spotted you and reeled you in because they wanted to use you as their source of supply. So they wanted to use what you can give them. They wanted your love, affection, attention, your financial stuff, maybe your energy. They wanted something from you. They wanted you to validate them and tell them and prove to them that they are better than you. Okay, so none of this is real. This is called love bombing. They are trying to get you stuck with them before you realize who they are. So this can look like a relationship moving really fast, like progressing way faster than a normal healthy relationship would. Like they are confessing their love to you, telling you that you are the most special person, complimenting the things you've always wanted people to compliment. They are really, air quotes, seeing you. You know, you feel so seen. You feel so important to this person. They're making you their world, you know. This is a red flag. If someone's progressing too fast, doing all these things, telling you you're their soulmate, and it's making you uncomfortable because you're just not there yet, and it's only been a couple weeks, red flag, like red fucking flag. Something healthy and normal does not move like that. You're supposed to be building a foundation for a relationship that, you know, they could be your soulmate, whatever. but this is a red flag. So keep an eye on that. So if someone's just immediately from the gate dumping love on you, I would be wary, you know? Okay, so the next thing I want to talk about is narcissists have a type. It's me. I'm the type. No, let's say was. Okay. They know what to look for. They know who they can charm and seduce and trap, and they're good at it. This is not to victim blame. This is not it. That ain't what I'm doing here. I'm just saying that they know that they're going to need a sweetie that's going to put up with their shit once they get past the love bombing phase, okay? So they want someone that they can get a lot from, be it friends, energy, sex, any kind of clout. They want to be getting something from you. They want someone with vulnerabilities, like low confidence, maybe an underlying self-esteem problem. They want someone that's very caring, very empathetic, will kind of see them and be like, oh, wow, okay, I see your heart. Everyone else thinks you're like this. They want someone that's got, like, you know, a lot of passion going for their friends, family, career, you know. They want someone that can give them a lot. And so they want all these traits. These qualities kind of add up. What I'm trying to say here is you're likely to see the good in the narcissist before they turn on you. And that's kind of what traps you. And so you see the good and you make excuses for the little red flags behaviors that you see in the beginning. You're like, oh, no, it's okay. I'm very understanding. Like, I get this. I'll let that slide, you know. Another tactic is kind of a pity play party. Okay, so you're not, for me at least, in my relationship or situationship, whatever you want to call that, I was never scared into staying. Never. Like, I could kick his ass, you know. I was never worried about that. That's not what kept me. I know there are relationships that are really scary, but that's not what I'm talking about here. And it could be in a narcissistic relationship. But what kept me was they knew how to appeal to my sympathy. So I ended up, like, pitying the person that consistently hurt me and hurt other people. I'd be like, oh, but I know this, and I know why he's like this. And so I would just keep making excuses. And, you know, when that person's reeling you in, they're likely to mention how badly they've been treated in the past. Maybe they had some abuse as a child, or their parents were kind of shitty to them, or they were in a really bad relationship. Not that these things weren't true, but they were being used as a tool, and that should never be used as a tool, you know? So just be wary of that, because generally when they're in the charming phase, they may drop a couple of those things, you know, just so in your mind, you're already kind of thinking like, oh, I get it. So he's had a rough past or she's had a rough past. They tell you because they know that you are empathetic, and they know that if they tell you this, it's going to feel like, oh, I'm being so vulnerable with you. And it's going to feel like bonding. Okay, so you're going to feel more bonded to this person and closer to this person. Which in a healthy relationship, yeah, it is bonding to share these really vulnerable things. Like, because they aren't going to be used against you in a healthy relationship. Big difference. So yeah, it's just an illusion of closeness that they're trying to make. And will ultimately use that against you. Danger town. Another thing is, obviously, I think we all know this one, gaslighting. So basically, it's a tactic that manipulators use to gain power over their victims. So it kind of causes their victims to question reality. So it could maybe start with a little white lie, you know, something like that, kind of start out early. But once it progresses, it's kind of like the frog in the saucepan, where you kind of slowly turn up the heat and you don't really realize what's actually going on. But an example of gaslighting is they just tell you a flat-out lie where you know that's not true and you can prove it wrong, but they're so fucking adamant about it that you start to question what you know, and you're like, wait, but I know this, but obviously it can't be true, or they wouldn't be doing this, and you want to believe them, you know, you want to see the best in this person. So it's just a very scary thing, making you lose touch of, like, what the fuck is it? Am I wrong? Like, am I the bad person? Am I doing the wrong thing? And, literally nothing can drive me more insane than that. Like, I've been through those situations where, you know, I called out a behavior, and by the end of it, I was apologizing and questioning everything I knew about myself, because he was so good at flipping that back. And that's just fucking scary when you can lose touch of what you know to be true and reality, and it's not your fault. Okay, someone is playing with your mind, playing with what you know, not your fault. Dangerous. Gaslighting. So it's kind of like, the best way I can describe it is like Jekyll and Hyde. It's like hot and cold, a big roller coaster all the time, you know, like good stuff so you'll stay and make excuses for the bad stuff, you know. It's like you have the highest highs and then you have the lowest lows. And it's just like those highs keep you because they're so great. Everything feels good, like the world is at peace when, you know, everything's great and happy and you feel like, oh, I'm so in love with this person. I understand them. I'm so important to them. They just can't lose me. You know, that's a big high. But then you hit these bottom lows because you're going through all this shit at the same time. But it makes you just want to get up to that high again. So it's like a hard drug. It's like literally becomes an addiction of the high and low. This is also Danger Town. So the Dr. Jekyll doesn't even exist. It's just a mask that hides Dr. Hyde. Okay, so it's a scam. It's a scam. It's all a scam. They're keeping you because they're getting something from you. They're getting that validation, attention. They're using something about you, whatever that may be. It looks different in every sort of relationship. But, you know, let's talk about what if you leave, or what if they leave you for some reason? What happens? What's their side of the story look like? You're depleted. You have nothing left to give over here. You heartbroken. This person took you for the worst ride of your life, you know? If you leave them, guess who's going to be sad? It's you, not them, because yeah, they lost someone. They lost their supply. They lost their supply. But guess what? Guess who's out on the hunt again the very next day, you know, just looking for a new supply. It's them. They don't care about you. They don't love you. You may be very attached for them or have some sort of love for them. You are probably going to be the heartbroken one. They aren't. And let me tell you, I felt a lot of shame for staying because I knew that I wasn't being treated well and all my friends were telling me to leave. I couldn't leave for so long because I was so deeply tied into this. But another part of this is I still, even when I did realize what I was in, I felt so much guilt for leaving. I was like, what is this person going to do without me? Like, who is going to love them? Who's going to take care of them? Do they have any good relationships in their life? No, because obviously they're a crappy friend and I don't want to leave someone. I don't want to break someone's heart by leaving. But guess what? They don't give a shit. So just pack your shit and go, okay? Another dangerous part, I feel like I just need to have like sirens playing in the back of this podcast episode because I'm just like big old Danger Town coming through. Another part of this is even after you've left or they leave you, it's very common for them to circle back and try to get you back because guess what? If their hunt comes up empty, or maybe they just want more supply, so then maybe they have like 40 other people they're doing this to, who knows? But you probably wouldn't know about that. But if they are feeling the need, or if they're feeling a loss of control over you and they have too much pride to lose that, or if they are needing more of their supply, they're probably going to come back and try to woo you. And they're going to pull out all the stops because guess what? They can't stand losing the power that they have over a human being. You know, it's crazy. So they are going to go through some drastic measures to keep you. If they decide they want you back, they're going to be lying, manipulating, giving you insincere apologies, you know, crocodile tears. They're going to be playing on your pity. And let me tell you, it's hard to resist that because just like we got into this relationship in the first place, they're very good at charming. They're very good at knowing what you need to hear, pulling on your heartstrings again, making you feel appreciated and loved and seen. Also, at this point in the relationship, you'll probably have some attachment things that make it even harder to leave, some trauma bonding maybe, a little sprinkle of this, a little sprinkle of that. The roller coaster is really fucking addictive. Like I said, it feels like you're kind of weaning off of a drug, you know? So that combined with their charming skills and their crocodile tears, it's going to be very hard to resist that. I remember this person told me, you'll never leave me once you've had a taste of this or some shit like that. I don't remember exactly how he said it, but he was like, once you've had a taste of this, you're never going to give it up. And I remember that moment. I was just like floored because at that point, that pattern was true. I had continually gone back to him time and time again. And I knew that that was not true even at that time, but I was afraid that it would just continue for a really long time. So they're going to say all the things. They're going to do everything, but this is the time to trust your gut. Really remind yourself why you need to get the fuck out. Remember that this is all a scam, and if you continue this, it's just going to be a sequel. You know, I had a whole trilogy, all right? It doesn't get better. You keep going back, and you keep going through this cycle again and again and again, and the result is not even the same, but it usually ends worse, you know? So it's just getting continually worse. You're just getting in deeper. There is nothing good that can come from staying with a narcissist. You cannot fix them. You cannot love them into treating you better. You cannot love them into being a better person. You're not a therapist. It's not your job. And you need to run, okay? Not to be dramatic, but I'm going to be dramatic. I wish I had heard this before I got into this. So hopefully you'll remember this. I don't know. So leaving, how do you do that? How do you leave someone that you were addicted to, maybe codependent on, that you care about? Really, you do because you're a good person, but is using and abusing you, whatever that looks like. How do you do that? For me, I was in therapy to deal with all the shit that I was dealing with him. And I have a really good therapist that really pushed me. And I owe a lot to her for encouraging me and reminding me that I have the strength to leave. And she really pushed me to do that. Something to remember, you need to get out however you can. This is not about them, it's about you. They don't need to know everything. You, whatever it is, I don't care. However you can get out, get out. So I don't love lying, but this is an instance where I don't care if you lie. If you need to white lie to them that you're moving to Colorado, or you're moving to China, or whatever you need. Or for me, I didn't tell this person anything. I just said, it's my issues and I have to go. And I left. It was great. Not the truth. I mean, partly true. I did have some attachment issues, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, this is not a time to try to have one glorious last hurrah and really stick it to him, be like, you bitch, you know, look at all the things you've done. Because guess what? That could put you in a dangerous situation. Also, they're not changing because you say all this. You think a narcissist is going to change if you tell them they're an asshole and that they're abusive? They feel justified in everything they did to you, okay? They will not take responsibility for it. So having this glorious last word is going to do nothing but probably put you in danger, okay? So let's remember. Let's start leaving. Step one, don't give them one more chance. We know the pattern. We know the type of person they are. They're going to plead and beg and threaten and manipulate all the stops. So when you realize it's time to go, don't be waiting for them to get better, because it's not going to happen. Not going to happen, sweetie. Step two, don't tell them you're leaving. Like I said, this could get dangerous and they don't need to know. Pack your shit, you know. And don't give them a chance to even start on all their manipulation and love bombing and gaslighting, or don't give them the chance to physically hurt you, or anything like that. You need to keep yourself safe right now, and you need to get yourself out of there in order to keep yourself safe. You don't owe them an explanation. You don't owe them shit, okay? You do not. This is for your well-being, your safety, and everything else, okay? This is for your future. This is because you love yourself. You don't have to tell them shit. How about that? Okay, so pack your things. It's going to be a little more complicated if you're married to them, okay? I mean, I'm not an expert on marriage, but you need to gather your stuff, any documents, make copies of them, email them to yourself, you know, anything you need to do, stack cash. If you need to get a separate bank account, if you are married to them, do that. Have your own money. You gotta, at this time, you're going to need a lot of love and support. So reconnect with your family and friends. Tell them your boundaries, because a lot of people will try to say, I told you so. But guess what's the worst thing to hear when you're going through an abusive relationship like this? I told you so. So set boundaries with them. Say, I don't want to hear I told you so. I need support and love right now. This is what I'm asking from you. Can you help me? You know, you don't need more pain on top of your pain. Okay, you don't need any of that. You just need someone to care and support and listen to you. And people don't know how to do that best. So if you have specific things that you need, ask for that. People want to love you and they need to know they're not mind readers. So that's something I had to do too. I had to sit down with a couple people and just ask for what I needed. And guess what? I was welcomed with open arms. You know, they wanted to love me. They wanted to support me. So yeah, okay. Stack your cash, gather your things. Don't tell them you're leaving. Don't give them another chance. And then get the fuck out. I don't know if you need to move out or just not text them back or whatever. So once you're out, you gotta cut off everything, okay? Block them, every single thing. Maybe change your number. I don't know how intense your relationship is. Block their phone number. Block them on Facebook. Block them on Venmo. Block them on every single thing. Instagram, every social media. Like, they don't need to see anything that you're doing or have any way to get in touch with you, because there's a really good chance that they might do that, or they might try to get you back, like we've already talked about. Just take away that opportunity, you know? This might also mean cutting out mutual friends that are close to that person as well. You know, it's hard, it sucks, but if this person is a tie to this narcissist, then it's necessary for you to cut them out, or at least take a good amount of space. Okay, I'm editing this, and I just wanted to add another reason for cutting out your mutual friends that are friends with the narcissist too, is because if they're friends with this person, they're probably under the narcissist spell too. So he's probably charmed them. And these people might shame you for ditching someone, air quotes. Unhealthy tie there, another reason to go. Also, once this narcissist realizes you're leaving, he might be going after your reputation. It might be telling all these people around that he can possibly reach what a shitty person you are. So that's just a couple extra points on reasons to cut out the friends that you've met through that person or your mutual friends. Most likely the people that are close to you, that were your friends first, will definitely hear you and see you and understand what you're going through and be on your side. But the people that aren't, you need to step away. Also, side note, while you're doing this chopping of getting out of this relationship, maybe cut out any other toxic things in your life too. This is a good time to just cut yourself free and get the fuck out and heal. Okay? So block everything. I cannot stress this enough. Block it, block it, block it. All right? And then also, this is something from my process. maybe not everyone, but again, I don't like to have reminders of this person. So burn or throw away any gifts they gave you, any of their old clothes that you have, you know, letters, whatever it is. If you have a reminder of them, that's something that they had or you got from them, burn it, get rid of it. Let it burn, baby. It's pretty therapeutic. Maybe sage your house as well. I don't know. So whatever you need to do to get out, do those things. Everyone's process is going to look different. One of the really discouraging things when I was leaving for the final time was remembering the times that I had left before. And that was very discouraging to me because I felt like, yo, I've been here before. It wasn't this bad, but I've been here before several times, and it's probably just going to be the same. I'm going to go back, la, la, la. It's just like quitting smoking. And, you know, some people say that once you're a smoker, you're always a smoker. But actually, I think each time that you quit, you're getting closer to finally quitting for good, you know? So don't let that discourage you. That was a learning process for you, and don't discourage yourself with that. That's awesome that you tried to leave before, but now you know you'll have to stay gone. It's scary because our brains are really good at reminding us of the good times and highs and like the high parts of the roller coaster, you know. It's that addiction thing. It's really easy to reminisce on the good times, but we just got to remember a few things here. We got to remember Jekyll and Hyde. We got to remember that Jekyll doesn't exist. He's a mask. And we got to remember the roller coaster and how many chances you gave them to shape up, you know? And we have to remember that the result was always the same and it's going to continue to be the same. And remember, you can't fix them. Like we talked about earlier, it's not your job. What I found helpful was writing a whole list of everything that this person did to me. Okay, so keep it in your phone notes, maybe tape it on your wall, frame that shit, whatever you need to do. So whenever you start to feel like, oh, maybe I could call him, just check in, say hey, if you get there, I don't know if you will. Just have that list on deck. Or if you start to reminisce and romanticize some shit, check the list. You know, have that on deck because you need to remember even 3 years down the road, this person has no place in your life. There's nothing good that this person can bring into your life. They are a user, okay? Remember that. Remember why you're leaving. Keep your why handy, okay? Keep that anywhere, plastered on your wall. I don't care what you need to do. Have a way of reminding yourself. Have a friend that you can tell the truth to. This is how I'm really feeling. Even if they're going to be like, bitch, you're dumb as fuck. Have a friend that's going to hear you, okay? Ask a friend to be there for you. You know, that's okay. It's okay to ask for what you need from your friends. Have someone that can keep you accountable. Another thing to keep in mind is that, yes, you need to remember all those things, but grief is going to be fucking weird because this person was a huge part of your life and you had so many memories. You invested so much time and love and care and support. And it's hard to grieve this person. Like, grief is really weird. Don't shame yourself for it. You know, it's okay to be fucking sad. It's okay to miss this person as long as you're checking it at the door. You know, you can see this feeling and realize that you are attached to this person. There might be a hole in your heart here. That's okay. That's normal. Don't shame yourself for that. As much as I distrust and do not like this person that fucked me over, there's still a part of me that misses this person and really deeply cares about this person because I'm a caring person and I really cared about them and they were a huge part of my everyday life. And there is a hole there in my heart. I wish it wasn't them. I wish it wasn't like this. I wish I was totally fine. But I'm able to look at that and accept that I miss them, but to not act on it because we don't have to act on all our feelings. We can see our feeling, accept our feeling, and then move through that feeling. Like, it's all right. another side effect of this that I've noticed for myself is that after you've been on a roller coaster and you get the fuck off of that roller coaster and you get far the fuck away, things feel a little boring, okay? And it makes you want to jump into a new thing that's going to be a roller coaster too. Don't do it. Like, right now is the time for you to heal. You don't need to jump back to that person or jump to a new person that's going to give you those same thrills, because guess what? You're still going to get those lows. Right now you need to heal and take this time for yourself. Put all the energy back into yourself that you were putting into that person. Reconnect with people you lost touch of because you were too busy dealing with this narcissist. Reconnect with your hobbies. Do what you want to do. Focus on your career. Take care of your mental health, go to therapy, whatever you need to do, whatever this looks like. Fill up your life with good things to replace this very negative thing that you have lost. Thank God you lost it. It's hard as hell, but you can do it. You can move through it. And a very encouraging thing is getting rid of this terrible, abusive, nightmare of a relationship is it's making space for you to heal, and it's making space for healthy relationships in your life, whether they're romantic or platonic. You have more room for good love in your life. And guess who deserves good love? You do, okay? Drops mic. Whew. Okay, I needed a deep breath after that. This is a very difficult topic. Even if I hadn't been through this, I have a lot of people in my life that have. So it's very, and I'm sure you have too, like someone in your life, or maybe you, I hope not, has dealt with this kind of stuff. And this shit runs deep because there's a lot of stuff to do with trauma bonding too that keeps you there. Not only their manipulative behavior and all their scary stuff that we just talked about, but, you know, I feel like other issues in your life, in your heart, that maybe aren't super healed yet can definitely add to those. So it's just a very vulnerable topic and it's a pretty scary place to be. So if you're in a relationship like this, you can get out. I believe in you. It's going to be hard as hell, but it's going to be so worth it to get out of there and just have your life back again. You deserve it. So I have some resources you should check out. lovefraud.com. It's got a ton of great articles about recognizing and how to leave and kind of dealing with the narcissist in a relationship. It was started by this lady that was in a relationship with a really scary narcissist, and she made this as a resource to help other people that are in these sorts of relationships get the fuck out and know what the fuck is going on and to be able to recognize this abuse. Also, there's the National Domestic Abuse Hotline, 1-800-799-SAFE. So check that out. Check either of those out if you need it. My DMs are always open on Instagram. My personal is Roslyn V. And of course, the podcast one is at the Nosy Rosie Show. So thank you so much for hanging in there with me today. I know this is a heavy, heavy topic, but, you know, I think it's always good to know what the fuck is up. So thanks for listening. Thank you so much for listening today. If you enjoyed this episode, remember to subscribe. And if you're feeling generous, remember that reviews are basically the equivalent of diamonds in the podcast world. So you know what to do. And if you want to follow us on the daily, you can check out our Instagram. Give us a follow there at the Nosy Rosie Show. Thanks for tuning in. I hope your love life stays thriving as always.